You are about to enter the Exorcists podcast. Some audio may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome all to the Exorcists podcast, where truth is revealed and knowledge to battle the demonic is given. Here is the Exorcist himself, G.P. Haggett.
Into time's soul, and I pull you forward in Jesus' name. Come on up. Full manifestation. Come on up, Jezebel. Get your butt up here in Jesus' name. Get up. Come on up. I adjure you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come up and face me now. Come up. Come up. Full manifestation. Come on up. You here? How you doing? Good to see me again, isn't it? You like me? No, not saying anything. How come? Holding his tongue. Who else is in there? Don't lie to me. Look at me. I didn't say to take your eyes off me. Who else is in there? Torment. Fire. Spirit, or you will be tormented. Who else is in there? You better not. Look at me. What? Nothing shall be kept in hidden in darkness or in secret. You tell me the name of the demon in Tennyson, Indiana. Now! What's his name? Tell me. It's right here. It's coming up. Just like a cough. Nail the bag. It's coming up. I say it. Speak it. Speak his name. Say it.
Yes, me.
It's you in tennis. What are you doing there? What's your legal rights there? I want you to go ahead and tell me that. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Torment. What is it? What's your legal right there? Look at me. I adjure you by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to tell me what your legal right in Tennyson is. Tell me now. How? Look at me. Tell me. Torment. Tell me your legal right there now.
No.
You don't have a legal right?
No.
You don't have a legal right. What are you doing there? Why are you there if you don't have a legal right? Huh? Sucks for you, doesn't it? You can cry all you want, but you're not going to touch that family anymore. You hear me?
Yes.
Or I'll come down there personally and beat your butt. Bible. Come to full manifestation now. And look at me. Look at me. Don't get cocky with me. I hate you, Jezebel. Oh, yeah. Say, I, Jezebel.
I, Jezebel.
Bind myself. To all my kingdom.
As one.
Together, look at me.
We renounce every right
over this man of God. We lift the curse. Don't get cocky with me. Say it louder.
Lift the curse.
On this person. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut you off from this soul.
For what we have done.
To torment this man.
of God and all his ancestors. We receive the judgment of God. Say it. Seven times greater. Yes, you do. Receive it.
Seven times greater.
And I bind myself.
I bind myself.
To all the health problems. An illness, the shrinking of his blood vessels, and all the numbness. Say it. Say it. Say it. You will say it. Bring it up. Say the words. And every medical problem,
and every medical problem
I'm causing to this body, I bind it to me. All of it. Every drop. Full manifestation.
All of it.
Having no more right to this child of God, we release their destiny and anointing. Speak is anointing.
And their anointing.
Speak what it is. Speak it. And don't even think you touching me at all. I see those eyes back there wanting to touch me. You touch me, you're tormented.
In the Holy Spirit. And in God. In Jesus. In the baptism.
Having no further right. Say it. We all go now to the abyss. Say it. Go. Get out now. Get out. Get out. Get out of him now in Jesus' name. Get out.
Let me anoint him.
atmosphere. Fill up every portion of his body, soul, and his spirit with your presence where these demons were and tormented him. Every crevice, Lord, the Holy Spirit upon him now. We ask this in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you will bring about his anointing. We shall go forth now.
Oh,
thank you. I do your anointing now in Jesus' name. How you feel?
Hello and welcome to the Exorcist Podcast. Welcome back. What you were listening to there was the last part of the series that we did on this particular exorcism of this gentleman. He had both Lucifer and the Jezebel spirit in him, and a lot of people aren't aware that, you know, most women have the Jezebel spirit, but men can get the Jezebel spirit as well. And I mean, these particular demons were pretty soft-spoken that were in him, but you can just see just how difficult the Jezebel spirit is to deal with. And so just to backtrack, the Jezebel spirit that was in this gentleman did in fact say that it entered through abuse. Most of the time the Jezebel spirit enters in a person by sexual abuse. That's the majority of the time. But occasionally I have found that the Jezebel spirit will enter a person through other forms of abuse as well. So it's not always sexual abuse, but it can be physical, verbal, sexual abuse. Also found in some women that it has entered them through molestation. And so that's a tough one. Because abuse usually involves the strategy of the devil to get the Jezebel spirit in a person is to fracture the mind so that there is a dissociative there. A piece of the person that is full of pain, holding on to the pain, is caught in the background, and the Jezebel spirit can hide behind it. And what I find a lot through finding the dissociative. Now, dissociative, if you're not familiar with what a dissociative is, it's a piece of the person. A good example is Mark talked a lot in his gospel, a lot about what the deliverance ministry of Jesus did. And when the good example is the demoniac of Gadara, he was cutting with stones and he was crying out in pain a lot and everything. And usually when the Jezebel spirit comes forward, it brings all of that emotional damage with it when it manifests. And so the person is feeling some emotions that they have never felt before in their life since childhood. And that's what's going on with this gentleman, is that a lot of the emotion that he was feeling, to having to take a break. A lot of people, when they take breaks from deliverance, it's because of that emotional baggage. Not always, but demons will, because they're emotional beings, they will bring up a lot of that emotion that they're connected to. Namely, like Lucifer is anger. So the person is bringing up a lot of anger. They find themselves angry a lot when Lucifer comes forward and they're fighting it back. A lot of Christians that have demons they're fighting back Lucifer during their deliverance. I just did one not too long ago with a gentleman on who had a Luciferian spirit, namely Lucifer. And he was a Christian, and he was fighting back all that anger because he was just not an angry person. If you met him, he was just a very happy person, tell you a joke and everything. But when Lucifer came forward, he was just angry. And which really, really shocked a lot of people that were witnessing that deliverance. And actually, I might just play that one here. Find it real quick here. Here it is.
Lucifer, you coward, are you in there? Me and Jezebel were in conjunction. You and this man?
What you don't see is that there's a lot of the traits of Lucifer in the person that I identify, and a lot of times you got to egg the demons on and provoke them to use some religious provocation to try to get them to come forward, because they don't want to come forward because the exorcist identifies them, then they are subject to the exorcist authority and power. And so when a demon comes forward, I can control them. I can torment them, and they don't want that. They want to control things. They want to be the god and person in control. So I lean in forward on this gentleman, and I have a lot of times Lucifer cannot look me in the eyes because he sees Jesus, and so I just have him look, them look right into my eyes, and ultimately Lucifer comes forward.
You in this man? You in there?
What you don't hear is that I'm egging Lucifer to come on and to come up, and you start to hear a little bit of growling. And but a lot of times the person, the victim of possession, has trouble trying to get out of the way to let the demon up, or is afraid to lose control. So I assure them, please get out of the way, go to Jesus. Think of something else, become that evil so that they can come forward, and whatever happens, you can trust us that we're going to take care of it.
Lucy. I know you're there. I see the snarl. Hey, Lucifer. Thought you could hide and bob, didn't you? Yeah, there you are. This Lucifer? I expect an answer. You're dull in anger. Won't you touch me? I will torment you. You see Jesus looking back right back at you, don't you? There you are. How'd you get in there? Tell me. Say it. Say how you got in there. Tell me. Say it.
That was good.
Do you have any right? Do you have any rights?
Oh.
No rights, huh?
Yeah.
Look at me. I didn't tell you to take your eyes off of me. Hey, everybody. Meet the devil. Say hi, Lucifer. Say it. Say it.
Hi, Lucifer.
This is just a little thing that is between Lucifer and I. Every time he comes up, I make him say before the courts of heaven and the Almighty that he is a coward. And this kind of thing, when it's asserting your authority as a Christian, it weakens the demon. And so that's what we wanted to do, is weaken them as much as possible, to remove their power or any influence that they have over the situation or what they're trying to do. And so we just so that when it comes down to the exorcism, they got nothing. They're not able to fight back. They're forced to say the oath of exorcism, and they're banished. And so another thing that I'm about to do here is to make Lucifer stand up and bow before me, and to recognize my authority in Christ. And then I ask for the manifestation of Jesus Christ to appear in front of Lucifer, and so that he is bowed before Jesus Christ, the Potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this weakens him even more.
Stand up. Stand the body up. I ask for the presence of Jesus Christ here to manifest in front of Lucifer. He's right here. Bow before Christ. Do it. Bow or I'll torment you. Bow before Christ. Get on your knees before Christ. Bow. Bow. Bow before Christ. Hands out. Put your head down. Bow. Get up. Get up and sit back down on the couch, Lucifer. Bring Bob back up. Go down. Go.
So that, you know, a lot of people will criticize me because I'm not really yelling. I'm speaking boldly with authority. Some people say, well, you can't yell at them like that. That's, you know, I'm not yelling at the person. Now, a lot of times the victim of possession is like, no, go ahead. I want this thing out of me. You know, I come forward, I'll let you know. And I ask the person, okay, let me know when you come forward so that I'm not yelling at you. And so they understand. They're going through it, and they know it's not them that's coming forward. It's the demon. And so that's what's going on between me and the victim that I'm helping. So Lucifer and Jezebel work a lot together. Not always. Just from experience, from my experience dealing with these two demons, is that they are more than willing to work with each other, but they hate each other. Lucifer does not like to be bound to the any Jezebel spirit, especially Lilith. Lilith is a Jezebel spirit, and but the reason for that is because all demons are male, and if you've done deliverance as long as I have, you'd figure out that they do have a spiritual genitalia. Since there are certain demons, especially Jezebel spirits, who recognize, who self-identify, there's that term, self-identify as female. They're not females, they are males. They're just, they self-identify. And now, the gentleman that you heard who had the Jezebel spirit and Lucifer that we cast out in this series, he was sounding very feminine. And this guy does not sound that way. He has a family, and the thing about it is it's a Jezebel spirit that can enter a man and bring them about to have homosexual feelings with them. And there's actually a demon who calls himself homosexuality. And I know I'm going to tick a lot of people off in the LGBTQ community about that kind of thing, but I don't really care because I'm telling you the truth here. These spirits, when they enter people, they cause this type of behavior because they want to live their lives out through us. And so no one is born a homosexual. Let me say that again. No one is born a homosexual. You have homosexual tendencies because you are under a generational curse. Someone along your ancestry has been abused in some fashion. And that curse has followed down and upon you. And simply that curse has to be broken in order for those demons to lose a legal right over you. And the neat thing is, I don't want to say neat thing, but I find this spirit of Jezebel interesting because I call her the Barbie of the demonic world because she is like Barbie and has all these accessories that she'll work with to look good with. Mainly Jezebel works with the spirit of murder and witchcraft. But she will work with other functional, other spirits, other demons, like homosexuality. Mainly Ashtoreth will as well. That's a Jezebel spirit. Kali, Venus, Aphrodite. Kali is a very dangerous one too. Lilith is probably the worst of all the Jezebel spirits. The list goes on. Another one is Isis. But we can really find out what type of Jezebel spirit is in the person by looking at their ancestry. If a person has, a history of abuse, plus they have ancestry that goes back to India, more likely, I know that I'm going to be dealing with Kali. Somebody who has a Jewish ancestry and has a history of abuse and a cult. Then more likely I know that I'm probably going to be dealing with Ashtoreth or Lilith. Egyptian or Arabic type of background, possibly Isis, and the list goes on. Same thing with the Greek and Roman, Venus, Diana, Aphrodite. So those are examples. And while we're on the subject of Jezebel, let me give you, these are the common roots of the Jezebel spirit. Number one, sex abuse. Now, like I said, not always sex abuse, but majority of the time, it's sex abuse or molestation. But I have found, as an exorcist, I have found other forms of abuse, like this gentleman. It was more of a physical abuse that his mother had given him. Most women who have the Jezebel spirit are raped, incested, or molested. That's another demon that too. It's probably the most evil demon is incest. And Jezebel will work with them as well. Sex abuse is an automatic, let me say that again, an automatic right for the demon Jezebel to enter. And I would say about, it's a good, 99% of the time I'm going to find Jezebel in the person, woman or man, when sexual abuse or molestation is involved. Lost my place here. Got to get back to it. I'm going to play another clip from another exorcism here soon about Jezebel, just to give you an idea of just how cocky this spirit is and how frustrating it is to deal with. But yeah, 99% chance that the demon is there, because the aftermath of sex abuse is anger, vengeance, and wrath toward men, which is the target of Jezebel. And that's another thing, is when a Jezebel spirit enters a woman, there is, I have found, and the majority of the women that I have worked with to remove their Jezebel spirits, they have had lesbian type tendencies, or have had lesbian relationships, and even had hated men. And after the Jezebel spirit is removed, they are fully back to their natural state as a woman, being attracted to men naturally. And again, it is a Jezebel spirit working with other fashionable spirits to complete these assignments that like in the LGBT community is doing. And it is how these spirits are also influencing our society. Now, I know a lot of you people out there that are listening to this that support the gay community are thinking, well, that's just not acceptable what this guy is saying. But this is the spiritual truth, folks. And like I've always said before, I have a very transparent ministry. And anybody who is in the vicinity of where I'm performing a mass deliverance or an exorcism, what have you, inner healing, can come in and witness for yourself these spirits coming forward and admitting during interrogation to all of this. I'm only relaying on to all of you who are listening to this the devil's plan for society and humanity, and is to destroy us. I'm going to say this again. You are not born a homosexual. You're not. You are that way because of as a result of somebody in your ancestry was molested, was abused, or what have you, causing a generational curse for these spirits to come down upon you and ruin your life. God had a destiny in mind for you. And most of the time that when I do a deliverance on somebody, I have to get the demon to relinquish the person's destiny. And a lot of the times, I say actually most of the time, when people are delivered, they're actually out and able to perform their destiny and anointing that God intended for them. Number two, a generational curse, just like what we talked about. An ancestor could have had something done to them to cause the curse. And that's another thing too. One of the main enemies of the Christian church is the homosexual community. And just because, you know, the church itself, it will accept homosexuals and say, hey, you know, we love you. That's true love. But the homosexual community is against, majority of it is against the Christian church because, well, the Jezebel spirit wants to destroy the church. That's what it's, what the devil designed it to do. The third thing is, one of the roots is rejection of the father. If the father has incested the female child, rejects the child, fails to affirm and validate the female child, Jezebel has an open door to enter in. When mainly affirmation is not given, Jezebel has a root. Women who are raised by unloving fathers have a door in their life that is open. And that's another way for the Jezebel spirit to come into a woman to cause all kinds of chaos, to get you to go into the New Age, get you to go into the crystals, get you to go into witchcraft, Wicca, paganism, all this kind of stuff. Look at your zodiac, your horoscope. Try to bring in different types of religions into Christianity if you decide to become a Christian. Go to church and try to have a leadership role, that kind of thing. Have narcissistic personality disorder, mainly to control. And you find yourself bashing the pastor, and I'll get to that here soon. Number four. Another root is satanic ritual abuse. Cults that practice systematic ritualistic torture cause women to be open to the Jezebel spirit. And let me get to 10 characteristics of the Jezebel spirit. I'll try to get through these quickly. I know we're going to have a shorter show. But number one, of course, is the arrogance, cockiness, spiritual rebellion, witchcraft of this demon. Let me play a clip for you about the cockiness of this demon. This is a young woman, a mother, who has been molested by her father, who had been abused by her father and other family members, and not only that, but had witchcraft been put on her. The witch had actually taken locks of her mother and her hair and had performed ceremonies on them, causing Jezebel to have a right. And of course, I identified this and I coaxed the Jezebel spirit to come forward. So in this scene, we're actually doing some renouncing and breaking some curses, and then I needed to confront the Jezebel spirit, and here you're going to be able to hear just how cocky this spirit is.
I place all the...
I place all that now.
Under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Satan can no longer harm me.
It can no longer harm me.
Jezebel can no longer harm me.
Jezebel can no longer harm me.
Because of all this.
Because of all this.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
How do you feel?
Okay.
What you didn't see there was, I use the Bible a lot because it is a spiritual object. It's a holy object. And demons feel it when you slap them with the Bible. And so It's already being cocky. That's in response to authority. It wants to be authoritative, wants to control the situation. I took the Bible and slapped the lady's arm. It wasn't very hard. And the Jezebel spirit replied, you know, kind of turned her head, rolled her eyes, and said, "Ow." And it does that. It actually hurts it quite a bit, but it responds in a fashion to try to show you intimidation that nothing's working. But you have to have faith and know that it is working.
Do you have a legal right?
I'm here, aren't I?
What's your legal right?
Your pain.
More specifically. How many generations?
Many.
How many?
So we try to find, when we ask how many generations to the demon, we're asking how far back does this curse go? And usually demons, other than the Jezebel spirit, will reply and say, you know, 100 or 60 or, you know, something like that. They'll give a number, 18 generations. And under torment, they because they didn't want to be tormented. But not the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit, again, wants to control the situation, doesn't want to leave, wants to be in control. And so it's just going to throw out numbers there. And so you have to torment the spirit to get it to tell the truth. And it's, like I said, it's a frustrating spirit to deal with.
Look at me. How many generations?
Endless.
How many generations? Take the sword and put it in you. Tell me.
27.
So there, it took torment to try to finally get the correct amount of generations. 27, and now we can work with that. The curse that had gone back to an ancestor, and then we could break that curse. So this, again, this demon is very frustrating to deal with. Number two, a history of seduction, not just for sex. It's for the hunt. The Jezebel spirit is a huntress. It's for the thrill, the power, the control. Men married to a Jezebel spirit, to a woman with a Jezebel spirit, don't usually get any sex whatsoever. They've got, you know, basically the Jezebel spirit's gotten them. She is usually a sexual playmate until she's got you, then she turns off. Jezebel doesn't want sex nor cares about it. Sex means nothing to the Jezebel spirit or to the woman that has a Jezebel spirit. And here's the thing, most prostitutes, I should say all prostitutes, all escorts, all strippers are Jezebels because of this. Let me just say that again. If you're listening and you're a prostitute, you're an escort, or you're a stripper, or you're a sex worker, you got a Jezebel spirit. And I've worked with women who have had Jezebel spirits that have done prostitution, escorting services, sex work. And I mean, you really... I know you have to be something else in order to, you women, sex is very personal. It's you want to have a personal relationship with that guy in order to have sex with them. And so you have to be somebody else in order to do that kind of thing, to do that kind of work, somebody that you're not. Number three. Very persuasive and leadership skills. Jezebel looks for a power vacuum she can step into. In a church, she looks for a weak pastor weak men, people who are not really taking charge in the body of Christ with no real direction. The person with a Jezebel will step in and start to influence. The person's spiritual rebellion kicks in with those leadership skills. She slowly begins to take over. Number four, undercuts the pastor's wife. A woman with a Jezebel likes to put themselves in place of the pastor's wife by proxy. And Jezebel will make negative comments about a pastor's wife among the congregation. Jezebel does not stand a chance against a godly pastoral wife. Just keep that in mind, you pastor's wives. You stay godly, Jezebel won't have a chance. The pastor's wife must be protected, upheld, and all negative comments must be stopped among the congregation. Number five, super spiritual. People with Jezebel spirits are super spiritual. Gives lots of prophecies, lots of revelations. To them, God is always showing the person with a Jezebel spirit something. There are people with such an anointing, but Jezebel quickly corrupts it easily. You know, like I said, I'm not against people that have this type of anointing. It's just that Jezebel will distort it, will use it in her favor, or its favor. But such people need to get delivered from the Jezebel spirit so they can work such an anointing better. Like I said, they're super spiritual people. I've had people with Jezebel spirits, you know, try to give me a word from God, and I just stop them. Like, okay, well, you know, or just let them talk. You know, just say it. You know, so they'll send me a message, or they'll say it in front of me. If it's different if they say it in front of me, because you know, Jezebel tries to put their hand on you and say things, and you just got to be careful what the person is saying, especially if you're a pastor, because Jezebel wants to attack the pastor, anybody who's in a leadership role. And you just got to be careful what the person is praying to you for or saying over you, and you need to put a stop to it right away. Jezebel is going to try. I've had plenty of Jezebel spirits try to curse me. I catch it right away, and I renounce it, and of course it pisses Jezebel off. And another thing about me, I just want to let you know ahead of time, if I'm saying curse words to you on here that sound like curse words, and I know in Great Britain, you know, I say the word piss a lot, and it's kind of a curse word in Britain. I am full-fledged Scottish, just so you know. I'm Scottish-American, and I'm just kind of that forward. And even toward demons, I don't put up with their piss, you could say. So, number six, questions authority. Gossips and casts doubts. Remember, Philippians 2:14 says, "Do not gossip or murmur." So Jezebel will try to do, and I've seen a lot of Jezebels do this, gossip and murmur about other people and put them down to other people so they can raise themselves up and put that other person down. Jezebel will try to do that. Number seven, operates in secrets. Does things with stealth and doesn't want to be held accountable. A floater person doesn't get into situations where someone can figure her out. Know anybody like that? People with Jezebels get involved with incubus or succubus, sex demons, demons who make a physical who take on physical dimensions to penetrate women sexually. In a Christian point of view, a person with a Jezebel spirit will describe it as being close to the Lord. Jesus is so precious to me. He's the lover of my soul. There are times I am so close to Jesus, it feels like he's in bed with me. A deceiving spirit that can erupt into full-blown demonic activity. Just keep that in mind. Number 9, can be a person with a Jezebel spirit can be single or married. Married women with Jezebel are not submissive to their husbands. Husband has usually given up on spiritual things. He's a spiritual couch potato in a way. Rather than the husband being spiritual, being the spiritual head of the household the way it should be, the wife with the Jezebel spirit is the head. Will you pray for my backslidden husband? I can't get him to come to church. Her husband's spiritual problem is her, not God. And the last one, number 10, associated with murder. A person with a Jezebel spirit. Jezebel, majority of the time, the spirit of murder is there. Jezebel kills friendships, godly relationships, murders your dreams, your destiny, and will go after anyone who gets in her way. Such attacks can manifest as disease, illness, to ultimately end life and the life of her host. So Jezebel is going to go after your friends, family members, kill them off because they're trying to influence their host. And will even manifest her attacks through disease. This is why the Jezebel spirit, you can see now, why the Jezebel spirit is the most dangerous demon. Hanging around somebody with a Jezebel spirit is very dangerous. The Jezebel spirit would do anything to ruin your life. A lot of my critics that were in the past had Jezebel spirits. And I'm not afraid to encounter or confront my critics. If you're going to go and criticize me in the paranormal community, church community, anywhere, and I see you, and I know what you've done, and I see you in public, get ready for a encounter, because I'm gonna confront you, and I will make your demons manifest and show their ugly face to you, just so that you're aware if you decide to criticize me. I mean, I'm open to criticism. I want to know what I'm doing wrong, what I can improve upon, especially in the podcast, that kind of thing, that kind of criticism, or even what I'm doing in my ministry. But when it comes to, I want to pray for you, I want to show you what you're doing wrong, openly attacking and gossiping and writing a blog about me, like one gentleman did in California, that I had to sic a lawyer on him in order to have it taken down, because Google is all for free speech. So he got scared about that. But, that's the Jezebel spirit. And that's Lucifer. And I hope you enjoyed this series and you learned quite a bit off of this. And I'll play more about Jezebel. We'll have another podcast about Jezebel, because you're going to find that I'm going to be talking a lot about this spirit, because it is so dangerous. One lady that I have been working with on and off, you could say, and I find this a lot in people with the Jezebel spirit, they have something health-wise going on that is like in this gentleman in this series that you heard. Jezebel, Lucifer ratted out Jezebel, causing illness in the guy, and I had to bind the spirit to the illness and to cast them out. And he's actually doing fine to this day. He hasn't having any health problems. The gentleman that you heard with Lucifer that I was playing, sorry for the audio about that, he was actually having coughing problems, and he doesn't have, since losing Lucifer, he doesn't have any more problems with coughing, has found himself not coughing anymore. And so they will manifest their attacks upon your soul in the body. One lady that I'm working on and off, like I was trying to say, has cancer. And she's got a Jezebel spirit. So women, I find a lot of women have the Jezebel spirit. And you women out there, please, you know, you've been abused. You have all these traits that I talked about, or done something in the occult, or have something done to you. Mediums, psychics have the Jezebel spirit. I find Jezebel a lot in the paranormal community. For you ghost hunters out there that are listening, you've heard the evidence of the Jezebel spirit. Jezebel is out there waiting for you, looking to get in you. And all it takes is for you to consult a medium and break the Mosaic law, or a psychic. Have your tarot cards taken. Use the Ouija board. The Ouija board is used a lot in the paranormal community. And Jezebel loves the Ouija board. Loves it when you use the Ouija board. Keep all of this in mind, you people who are in the paranormal community. Jezebel is out there and she is connected to the community. She loves Reiki. She loves psychics and mediums. She loves it when people have that Reiki energy put upon them so that she can demonize them unaware. She loves crystals. And in fact, this lady that I played had a bunch of crystals. Jezebel works with the spirit of witchcraft. Jezebel is the goddess, the lord and lady of of all witchcraft and paganism. Notice, like I said, lord and lady, Lucifer and Jezebel. Every time I find one of those demons, I find the other, majority of the time. They're there, folks. These demons work as a team. Majority of the time, Lucifer is there just to make sure that Jezebel is fulfilling her assignments upon the individual. I know, I find myself saying she a lot, using feminine terms for this spirit, when really it's just a male spirit, you know, self-identified as a female. That's the truth, folks. This is the whole reason why I'm doing this podcast, to tell you the truth. So you can identify these things in your life and then get on the wagon for deliverance and get these things removed from your life. And, you know, people message me, email me, call me every day asking for advice, asking for not bits of knowledge about these things. And, you know, I'll do my best to start answering your questions about the Jezebel spirit on the podcast. Because I know that, you know, it took me years to get where I am today, to learn about deliverance. And a lot of it was, you know, when mentors and the Holy Spirit was mainly my mentor, leading me to things. And as I'm learning stuff, I'm just finding, okay, what seems natural to us humans, what seems normal, is not actually normal in God's eyes. And because of it, it's taken advantage of by the demonic world. So I'm trying to find some questions that people have had. There is a Jezebel test that is going around that I started. It's actually a renunciation of breaking the curse of Ahab and Jezebel. I'm not the original exorcist that has created that. I'm just making it known. But in that test, it is pretty much like if you find yourself laughing or wanting to laugh, then it's possible that you have the Jezebel spirit. But it's not always true, just so you know. I've had people do that that curse-breaking prayer, and they don't find themselves wanting to laugh. But then, when dig deeper into them, into their psyche, into their soul, into their mind, I find the Jezebel spirit. Some people have said that it's hard to breathe. One person has told me that when they read it off, it was hard to breathe. It felt like a huge weight that was just weighing, a very heavy. Can't talk to my pastor because it's my brother who's the pastor of the church. I've talked to my psychiatrist. I have PTSD due to MST, anxiety disorder. That's another thing that Jezebel likes to cause in a person, is anxiety. Anxiety disorders, ADHD. I find that quite a bit. Usually a lot of times when the demon comes forward, they feel anxiety. Jezebel likes to cause that. But, yeah, I'll go through these more, and I'll start, you know, feel free to message me on Facebook. Again, I do have a personal account for friends and family, close friends and family, and I don't allow fans on there or listeners in there. That's just for friends and family, but there is a fan page, G.P. Haggart, in parentheses, Exorcist. At the recording of this podcast, just so that you're aware, and that's where I am. People can message me, but a lot of times I don't give out my phone number. I do call people. I do *67 people, because in the past I have had called people and my phone is just off the hook, and I've had to block people because they won't stop calling me for help. I can't help everybody, and it is sad that I'm in a state that is surrounded by water, and the only areas that I can really go to are in Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Michigan in the Upper Peninsula. I am training people in Kentucky, Wisconsin, and a few others in Michigan, to try to get more involved in deliverance, and it is probably going to take a little while. At the recording of this podcast, I say that because in the future they probably will be all trained up. But if you happen to be in Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Illinois, any of those kind of those close by states, and you want to join our ministry, feel free to. You can go to orderofthenightsofchrist.com, and there is a portion in there where you can join, become a knight, and We are true knights of Christ. We fight the enemy. We're on the front lines. And there's also on that website, there's also, if you click on the link Help Me, there are downloads that you can use to break curses, to get yourself prepared for deliverance, and we encourage people to do that quite a bit. So that is the end of this series, this four-part series. I hope it was very informative to listen to an actual long inner healing deliverance process. To recap, the majority of the time the exorcist is involved in inner healing and deliverance, and that is counseling, it is renouncing, it is forgiving, it is curse breaking. And then once all that is completed, then we can go and weaken the demons more and perform an exorcism, and the person is healed, either physically and or spiritually, majority of the time spiritually. And that's what we're trying to do in deliverance, is try to, because the spirit is connected to God, we're trying to get the soul to come up to the level of the spirit where it should be. And a lot of times the soul is in pain, and so we're just trying to help it along and to remove the demons, and so the person can get right where God intends them. So this is G.P. Haggart. God bless you, and thank you for listening, and catch you next time.